UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $14 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588.
You're listening to the V Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com. Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Okay, hey, got those.
Got the right mic this time. Yeah. There we go. We're off and running, baby.
Yep. There we go. So when do we start?
We're on now.
Oh, we're on the air right now.
Yeah.
Holy spit! It's a good thing I didn't say what I was thinking. Wow. It's like a potty word in there.
Hey, is Alfredo, but just the last part of it, considered a major Italian slur?
Fredo?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, because Chris Cuomo of CNN went like ape spit about it.
The word Fredo?
Yeah, someone called him Fredo or something.
Fredo because like from The Godfather, the one who betrayed him, the one that's the son that betrays him. You broke my heart, Fredo.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he meant.
I knew it was you?
Yeah, so he called him, he was calling him a traitor.
Oh, a traitor.
Yeah.
Oh, so, okay, so there's...
Right, that's well, what
that makes a, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Because
it's like calling somebody Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold's not a bad word, but it's implying that he's a traitor.
Or so, like a Brutus or something like that. Brute.
Was that Brutus? Wasn't that Popeye's enemy?
No, it was Bluto.
Oh.
Hey, I'm going to go pop in this meeting, so I'm going to tag.
Well, it's okay because you're going to miss all the fun because we're starting the show by telling everybody about our family.
Ah.
So you'll miss that. So thanks. Off you go. Off you go. They only schedule meetings when I can't be there. You think they're trying to tell me something? They had one once at 3 in the morning because it was the only time they knew I couldn't make it. So
I feel like there's a lot more times that you and I couldn't make it.
Yeah. But Nikki's trying to crash the party.
I'm tagging in Crean. Right. Getting the hot tag, as they say in wrestling. Right. Oh, here he comes.
So today is one of the things in our household is birthdays for most people are a day. In our house, they become basically at least 3-day celebrations. My wife... gets her present. She's born on the 22nd of December, and usually by the 27th or 28th, there's still a number that are not opened. That's she likes how she plays the whole thing out. Hers is a week. She goes over the top. The other ones, we do a thing, which is her tradition, and I've mentioned it every year, and I'll mention it again today because today's the day. Nicholas Michael Valvano was born on August 15th, so 2 days away. But what we do, I don't know how she came up with this, but it's pretty clever. We go back and recreate... excuse me, the last meal that we all had before she went into the hospital to bring the big-headed producer into the world. So, strangely enough, the labor lasted more than a day. So the last meal we had was dinner on the 13th. We did not know she was going into labor, so we didn't do anything special. We just ate at a sit-down Pizza Hut, which, of course, as I told you, the Valvano kiss of death, if there's something that's significant to us, I just saw the article the other day, 500 sit-down Pizza Hut restaurants are shuttering because they're going to just focus on delivery. So in a couple of years, we'll just be going to some random guy's house, I guess. We'll walk in the store and say, did you deliver any pizzas? Yeah, we had one to 123 Main Street. Well, we're heading over there then because that's where we're going to have our dinner. But I think there's still a couple of sit-down ones. There's one here, so we're going to go down there. So that's what we're doing tonight. So that's what we do because she said we're going to recreate the last dinner. We went in there on August 13th, and then she was in labor the entire day, the 14th, and Nikki popped into the world or came out the window. Actually, he wouldn't come out the door on the 15th, right after midnight. So his birthday is technically the 15th. It was just about 12:25, just after midnight. But we went in and had this meal on the 13th, and so we're recreating it. That's what we do every year. Now, she was very clever. And Jamie was even more clever because she said, we're not going through that. No disrespect to pizza. It's a fine meal. But she said, we're doing this every year. So for the week before Jamie's due date, we had already moved here by that point. She had reservations in every high-class restaurant in town for like seven straight days. We had reservations at Vincenzo's, you know, you name it. And Jamie came out a week early. And the last meal that we had when he was out was at the, we used to be called the Hometown Buffet, which is now out of business. So every year for his, on the he was just the evening before, we go to the Chinese Buffet, which has taken over for Hometown Buffet over there on Blankenbaker. So she had all these reservations at all these, you know, four-star restaurants. And Jamie said, well, I'm going to beat the system. I'm popping out a week early. What'd you have there? Did you have that egg foo young? Looks good. I'll sign up myself. So that's his meal. So he comes on the 25th because his labor was much shorter. We go there, and then on the 13th for tonight, we will celebrate Nick's the last meal before his birthday and head to the sit down pizza, which, by the way, I haven't checked. Are there any still in town here? I hope there are. Is that, I don't even know if there are.
I have not been to a sit down pizza in a long time.
Well, let's go see. There has to be Pizza Hut near me. Let's do that real quick. Because now they're in the, you know, nothing's going to be in business in about 15 years. Everything's going to be delivered to your house. Everything is going to be nothing. Even food places are going to be, they're just going to be commissaries. I mean, seriously, I don't know how retail places are going to stay open. Let's see. Is that a sit-down restaurant? Pizza Hut restaurant. There it is. Wow, it's pretty close to here. How about that? There's a bunch of them still around here. God, well, we are the headquarters, right? So that's a... That's a local brand. Oh yeah, look at that. That's a restaurant there. There's a whole bunch of them. So we'll pick one. You don't even know where we'll be. Come drive around the city and look for us tonight. So there you go. Hey, how about that? Wild. My wife's birthday is December 23rd. My daughter's is August 14th. My wife's is, that's what the listener says. My wife is December 22nd. My son is August 15th. So they're one day apart. So there you go. How about that? So. Cuomo said calling somebody Fredo is as bad as using the N-word. Boy, I'm Italian-American. I never heard that before. Literally, never. I mean, we can cuss at some people, too. So that one I don't completely understand.
All I know is I heard Nick say it earlier. It's like, and my first thought was, man, that Alfredo sauce was really good yesterday from the Melantonis.
It was good.
That was good.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Do we have food delivered today?
I do not believe so.
I thought, today's Tuesday. I thought Today was the wing day.
No, that's Thursday.
So Tuesday, we have no food?
Tuesday's the only day I believe we don't
have
food.
Why do you come to work? Why don't you make this your day off?
That's a great question. I don't take any days off.
This should be your day off. You should go see management and say, listen, I'm being overworked.
Wouldn't do me much good now. My last day is Friday, so.
Really?
Yeah, I go back to school.
Well, that's ridiculous. Seriously, why are you letting an education get in the way of your career?
My dad has a friend who used to say that he would take his kids down to spring training for like 6 weeks every year, and my dad would ask, why would you do that? He says, it like school get in the way of your education.
That's exactly Mark Twain's famous line.
Yep.
So, and now you don't even need to finish to be an agent, which is what you're destined to do. So,
yeah,
you know, you don't have to do that anymore in the NBA. So,
yeah, I'll tell my parents I'm dropping out. See how they feel about that. I don't think they take it too well.
I met your dad. Yeah. I don't think I want to try and sell that to him. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my fantasy football franchise. As most of you know, we led the country in merchandising last year, the Empire Electrons, and nobody quit on us, even though we didn't win a game until like week 13. We rallied late, though. We won a couple of three games late, pissed many of the other guys off in the league. Not all of them. Some of them got in the spirit of things, but the angry little man was mad, for starters. Drew was very mad. Locke went out his way to mock me every week, saying we wouldn't win a game, and of course, as frequently, we proved him wrong, just like Tiger did. So, but the merchandising now, we've reached a
But was it a fluke like it was for Tiger?
No, yeah, right, exactly. But this year, I drafted just everybody who it was a Giant or a Jet. And unfortunately, there are some years where, had I done that, my team would have been competitive. Last year was not one of those years. So we had to change the rules. We took guys from Buffalo Bills. We went to the Megalopolis, which is that term I learned in junior high. So I went to the whole Northeast Corridor. I went from New York to Philadelphia to Baltimore. I did that whole thing there. So we got to figure out this year what the theme is going to be. But more importantly, we've reached a stalemate with our home facility. We need a new stadium. There's no question we need a new stadium. And so
Are you going to make the public pay
the
for
city
it?
Won't pony any money up. And, you know, and I don't think it's really fair that I bring so much money into this league as is with merchandising, why I should have to pay for the stadium myself. So we're open to going to other venues. And the problem is we need to go to a venue that has kind of a, shall we say, existing logo that we can kind of piggyback on. Like the Empire Electrons logo is eerily similar to the Edmonton Eskimos in the CFL. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So
Can I make a pitch?
Well, I'm trying to find another team that's got a that I could tie into New York. Like if there was the Appleton, if the Appleton, Wisconsin had a team called the Appleton Aviators or something, we could go there because I could call it the Apple, whatever they are, because New York's the Apple.
Maybe Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple.
But you got to find me a team that's got, you know, a logo that I can merchandise. Because merchandising is all about it, especially if I got to pay for the stadium myself. So we may go back to the Empire Electrons logo because there's still a lot of chicken on that bone. I'm waiting for my hat to wear for draft night, so everybody can just stare at the only logoed team in the league. And then I got to figure out about a theme. Speaking of fantasy, if you want to play, and I think this is a great idea. The V Show Fighting Ences are trying to find some opposition in fantasy Premier League soccer. And the great thing about it is I've got a team that's comprised of 11 guys and then 4 guys on the bench. I've never heard of about 9 of them. So this was a great idea by Jason Entz. It's for players like me who don't know a whole lot about the entire Premier League. I follow Liverpool, and as I said, I played college soccer, so I love the sport, but I certainly don't follow it like the people who would follow the NFL or Major League Baseball or things like that. So he put a whole league together for people like me. It's called the V Show Uninformed League. And if you'd like to play, we want you to get in, and if you text me, there's no fee. It's totally free. If you send me you text us, I'll send you the code for the password to get in. And I don't know who else is in this league. I might be winning right now because I might be the only one in it. I don't know. But it'll take you 2 minutes to put your team together. You got nothing to lose. It'll be another team for you to follow. It's not a lot of work. I'm pretty jazzed up about it because you'll have as good a chance to win as anybody else as long as you're not somebody who really knows. If you really know about the league, then you're just cheating. It's like a golfer, you know, goes to a tournament. I'm a 12 handicap and a guy shoots 71. You go, come on, you sandbagger. You know, that's the same thing here. You go to the guy's house, he's subscribing to all the, you know, the newsletters and he's writing a column, he's blogging about it. And I don't know anything about the Premier League. I cut it out, you know. So if you want to join, if you text us at 437-9680, I will send you the code. And if not, if you can just send me an email, I think I can invite people through this, right? I think I can. I think I can invite people right off the webpage. So we may let Entz play. I don't know. You can play if you want.
I don't think that's fair to let Entz play.
Why? I know. So he writes, that'd be great. Because he's got nothing to lose. If he wins, he's supposed to win. And if one of us beats him, we can mercifully. Well,
also, Enz didn't invite me, so I feel like you should be excluded.
I'll invite you.
Yay.
I'll invite you. I need your email. You have to.
I can give it to you during the break.
All right. That'll be great. So we're going to try and do that. You're going to. Somebody's texting. It's not that long far away. You're going to have to order dinner on Amazon Prime. I mean, that's. Seriously, I don't know how anybody's going to stay in business. If you're reading first of all, malls went out. They went out the window. Now the big department stores themselves are all taking a pounding. JCPenney stock is going to be delisted off the stock exchange because it's selling for less than a dollar. And they have, I think, 60 days or 90 days to get their stock back over a dollar or they're going to pull it off of the New York Stock Exchange. That's a major, major, that's an inch away from, hey, we're having a clearance sale. You want to buy the fixtures? You know, that's that. Macy's is struggling a little bit. And these are great stores. So anyway, for what that's worth.
Who would sponsor the Thanksgiving Day Parade?
That's a great question. It's going to be Amazon Prime, who will sponsor everything, evidently. That's going to be the whole country. It's going to be USA, the United States of Amazon.
So they're I like that. But so they're going to do the parade, and instead of doing the main like axe in front of the Macy's store, it's going to be some vacant building.
No, what it's going to be is they're going to
stream it online.
You just log in and they bring a tiny little parade to your house. you sit out on your front steps and they get these tiny little floats. It takes about 30 seconds. They walk by, they wave, and they take off. And you go, that's it. It's the Amazon Day Parade. There it is. You look around the neighborhood, they've all got them. There's like 700 little parades going around. Your neighbor's got one. Hey, how come yours is different than mine? I got the deluxe parade. You know, I got live entertainment. They bring some kid from up the street and he sings Red River Valley, you know, that kind of thing. So it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird. Let's see. No. Guy says, Bob, try the Post for sit-down pizza. I know about the Post. Come on, man. As Keyshawn says, come on, man. Of course I know about the Post. It's great pizza. That's not the point. It's got to be a Pizza Hut because that's where we were. Did you not follow the story? Did you not follow the story? It had a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's how stories worked. And the end was we go back to Pizza Hut because that was the last meal. Unless you're just telling me about the Post, in which case I respectfully say, oh, thank you. It's a very fine pizza. I've had it before. So, you know, it's kind of either way. So if you weren't listening, then please listen to the yelling part. If you were listening and just trying to send me a suggestion, please accept my gratitude. That should be multiple choice radio. A story should come up and the host should give four different takes depending on the listener so he can appease to everybody. He does a absolutely pro Kentucky take, a pro Louisville take, a guy who's just looking for a fight in sports radio take. All he wants to do is argue heads or tails. He'll argue anything. Or the other guy who just says, you know what? I want to listen to sports radio so I get away from the world and everything else. So just be, you know, thoughtful.
Can we call option C the Stephen A. Smith take?
Okay. So there you go. So that's it. So then you could tell people, you know, you can have a little, oh, where's my alarm clock? I had a great contest here today and I won. I think I left it on my desk. I did. That's all right. You don't have to get it. But evidently Billy Reed brought this spectacular item in today. It's an alarm clock from the Reds that you can set it. So when it wakes you up, you people, you know, older than 12 might not know alarm clocks literally had bells. This is even before my time, to be honest with you. But if you go back to the 40s and 50s, there was a little anvil kind of looking thing on the top, and it went back and forth, and it rattled back and forth between the two bells. It's the one you see in all the cartoons. That's the stereotypical alarm clock in a Tom and Jerry cartoon or some old cartoon. You know, whenever they need an alarm, that's the thing. So you can set it to wake you up that way, or you can set it to have Marty Brenneman wake you up by saying, you know, it's a great day for a Titanic struggle or something. And he says, then this one will belong to the Reds and wake you up that way. If you're a Reds fan or a Marty fan, or you just want somebody to yell at you to wake up to start your day other than your spouse, there you go. You can have Marty do it. So I didn't think it was fair. He left it here and nobody had claimed it. So I thought the only fair way to distribute it would be to have a contest. So I made first caller to my cell phone. And I called myself, and I was the first one in, and I won. So I thought that was only fair. This way, everybody had a shot at it. Some of the people on here are claiming they didn't know about the contest, but is that really my job? I mean, don't you have to stay informed? That's kind of right. So, I mean,
I mean, that's what Twitter's for.
This is what I'm saying. Now, I didn't put it on Twitter, but okay. I thought it in my head, and I called.
You know what? If you can't read someone's mind, that's your fault.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm very excited about that item. I'd like to take it on the road with me, but it's actually a glass front. I'm afraid I'm going to break it. So, Billy, if you want it back, you're going to have to come hunt me down. But if you left it here, I don't know who you wanted it to go to, but I hope you're okay with me because I'm grabbing that bad boy because I won my contest. It was fair and square. I was the first caller, and I got it. By the way, a lot of people want to play in our fantasy league. So I'm going to email all of you people and give you this information, and we are very excited to put this league together from people who just, I apologize. The guy I completely kiddingly berated for sending me the info about the Post just apologized. Sorry, I just tuned in. I didn't know what you were doing. That'll teach you. Be on time. I'm not always on time, but you need to be so you don't miss the beginning of the story. We're going to Pizza Hut to celebrate my son's birthday, because that was the last meal we had before he went into his mother went into the hospital and spent a long time there, over 24 hours in labor. It was not, you know, gut-screaming labor. He didn't. This is so perfect. I've told this before, which embarrasses both of them, which makes the story great. Their personalities were evident by their birth process. Nick was perfectly happy in there. He was warm. He could sleep. You brought him food. He did not want to come out. She was in labor. The water broke on the 13th, and he would not come out. In fact, at the end, he was going back up. And the doctor said, this isn't going to work. We got to get him out the window. So they brought him out the window, and he was still asleep. He was doing this thing where he was spitting the amnio fluid out as he was coming out. He was like that. Jamie, we went in, and I was locked in for another 24-hour Titanic struggle, to paraphrase Marty Brenneman. And we got there, I don't know, in the morning. And about 2, the doctor said, ready to have a baby? And I was like, is somebody else in here? Who are you talking to? It can't be us, because we only got here. He said, he's ready to come out. And so, no C-section, no nothing. Jamie was like, excuse me, can I get the hell out of here? I've been in here for 9 freaking months. There's games to play. So he came out. They gave him to me. And, you know, you do the whole cord cutting thing. And he proceeded to pee on me. And if he could talk, I think his first thought would have been, who the hell is this guy? Why are you picking me up here? What is this? Can you get me cleaned up here? I'm a mess. And I got to go. Is there no bathroom? Well, hell with it. You look like I'm. And so then they finally later on introduced me as his dad, and he was a little bit better about it. But he took 4 hours, came flying out, basically told everybody, get the hell out of the way. Here I come. Nick, I'm convinced if there were no C-section, might still be in there. He might still be, you know, tapping on the stomach. He could talk fully. Can you eat pizza tonight? I haven't had pizza in about a week. So what are you doing?
Mom, red cheese it. No, white cheddar. Thanks, Mom.
Perfect. That is perfect. All right. Let's see.
What's the Wi-Fi password? Service in here is crap.
All right. Here we go. I just cranked the volume on my computer. Nick, we have a whole bunch of people who want to play in our Valvano Uninformed, V-Show Uninformed Soccer League. So congratulations to Ents. A great suggestion. A whole bunch of people have written, texted us. I will respond to all of you. And I'm going to have to copy it, though, because our computer here doesn't work, of course. So I'm going to have to copy it, and then you'll get it from us from another address or something. But it'll have the information. I'll give you the link, the password, the website, and then let's put a league together. This is going to be tasty. The Uninformed Soccer League. We'll all have reason to see if our guys scored. We may win and not really understand how. That should be fun. I won. Not sure why. None of my guys scored a goal. Yeah, but they all played 90 minutes. Ooh. Ooh. I got everybody played 90 minutes. Ooh. Yeah. And we lost. Like, that one of my actual teams lost 14-0. Yeah, but your goalie made 30 saves. Wow. So let me get this straight. I had nobody on my team score a goal. And the one goalie, starting goalie, his team lost 14-0, but I won. Fantastic. I like this league. All right. This should be fun. This guy says, I missed the chance to play fantasy football with you. It's fantasy soccer. You people have to be here on time. I cannot do the whole show over and over again.
Technically, it is fantasy football.
Well, yes, if you're in British or anywhere else in the world but American. But
Pops, there's a few things that we definitely cannot chastise.
I already told them I'm late.
About people coming on time. We never did that.
You know, you weren't even here, so you don't even know. I already covered that earlier. I said we're not on time, but that's, you know, you don't, if I'm late, you don't miss anything in terms of you're behind the story. When you're late, then you send emails and texts that are somewhat nonsensical. That was the point.
Sorry, I was in the meeting.
You were late. You weren't here.
You want to know the summary of the meeting?
I want to tell you this caller, this texter says, happy birthday, Nick.
Thanks. Yeah. It's not my birthday for 2 days.
Well, they know the story. Again,
I really appreciate the sentiment.
Well, all right. Well, it's the birthday festival has gotten underway.
We need to have parades and masks.
Lots
of beads.
Since you missed the show, too, I'll do it again for you, because if I do a comedy callback later, you won't know what we're talking about. We've established that in 10 years, USA is going to stand for United States of Amazon. You're not listening. I already did this for everybody else. I'm doing this for you, and you're not listening.
Because Green was like, hey, you want to tag back in? I was listening. Amazon's taking over America. There you go.
And USA is going to stand for United States of Amazon. The department stores are going to be out of business. The Thanksgiving Day parade can't be at Macy's because they'll be out of business. So they're just going to, Amazon is just going to deliver tiny little parades to your home. You'll have to order it, and you'll have tiny parades. He's not listening anyway. He's trying to find a jack. It's just, it's the usual CF at the start.
I can hear you.
Well, I can see you, so just watch it, pal. This is unbelievable.
There's the one you were using.
How was Crane able to hear everything that was going on, but when you come
because in... Because Jack had a jack, so I had to find my jack.
He wouldn't let you use his to get to the next commercial break? What do you think, you were going to suddenly just run around the bench, sprint out the front door, and run down Cardinal Boulevard with his jack, exactly?
He has his own personal headphones. I had a personal jack on my headphones. It fell off.
So he wouldn't let you use the jack with your headset?
No, because I knew my jack was around.
You don't know Jack. They still have that video game?
Am I your Jack?
Is that game still out there, by the way?
I see it occasionally.
It was the spit back in the day.
What game?
It was the one. It was
you don't
the
know Jack.
Everybody played. You don't know Jack. All right. We've pretty well gone down.
I'm answering the phone. Is this okay? You're going
to
yell at me.
Oh, this guy wants to, let's see. Go ahead. Answer. We're not taking calls, but go ahead, please interrupt the show for a phone call.
Yes,
ma'am. What do you think? Is this going to be useful or not? Let's see. I'll tell by his facial expression. Oh, the guy wants to come on the air. I can tell that. That's his you're a caller face. He has three faces. One is somebody he knows that they like to just chat with him. The, you know, New York Mike or any of the guests. It takes like 20 minutes to get Seth Greenberg through because he'll chat with him forever. He's got that's a caller. I don't really know who you are, but I take any caller and put them on the air for any reason at all. So that's that. That was that face. And then the other one is the guy who's calling to tell you your car insurance is – your car is not insured. If you have a car that was built anytime after 1812, we'll insure it, you know, the transmission, the whole thing, that guy, or the health insurance. Those are the two you get the spam calls on. You get those two. Or the vacations. Those are the three, actually. Call this number and find out about your completely paid for fantasy vacation. Just pay us money and you can get your free vacation. Or the car one where your car is covered if it was built later than, and actually it's 1990 something, and then health insurance. Those are the three spam calls. So let's see who that call was. We'll go to Nick and find out who the caller was in the newsroom. Let's go to Nicholas Michaels. Nick?
All right. I want you to guess the guy's name based on clues.
Okay.
Knotts?
Don.
There you go.
What is he calling about?
Amazon.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Bob. I was listening to the discussion on what the Amazon's going to be doing for the Macy's Day Parade.
Sure.
And my opinion is they're going to have just tons of those little drones flying around with streamers, holding little signs with advertisements of things for sale.
There you go. That's perfect. Instead of being on the ground, the parade will be in the air above your home. And it's perfect, yeah. By the way, the presence of Macy's. You called it the Macy's Day Parade. It's the Thanksgiving Day Parade. But everybody does that. Everybody calls it the Macy's Day Parade. Like it's their day. Like the pilgrims. Yeah. That was the day the pilgrims would all get together and run up their charge cards. That was
We've been around so long, it just locked in the brain like a copier is always a Xerox.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. All right, man. I appreciate that. That could be the Amazon Thanksgiving Day parade when it becomes the United States of Amazon. Just little drones flying with little streamers. I like that. That's exactly what Ence just said. The Amazon parade floats will be delivered by drone. How great is this? Diener went full V-show this morning. His show started around 7:15. Attaboy, Drew. Woohoo!
Proud of you.
Welcome to the dark side.
Proud of you.
It makes it better. People don't understand. One of the things about radio is the spontaneity of it. You're not quite sure what to expect. So that we take it to a whole other level. We don't even know when we're coming on. 7:15, 7:10, 12:08, 12:06. Come on. Tune in and find out. That's how that works. Let's see. The fantasy soccer people. Would you want to play in that? Texter who says it was fantasy football, soccer, my bad. You want to play anyway? It's the uninformed league, so the less you know about this league, the more qualified you are for it. So it'll be just on the English Premier League, and all I need to know about that is Liverpool good, everyone else not good. That's the team I root for. If you want to play, send us a text at 437-9680, and you will get an email back with the site and the code to get in. So, Jason Entz, congratulations. That was I saw the code is in the screenshot. I saw that, Jason. I know that. But I how will I get it to these people? That's what I'm saying. I have to send it to them. I don't just want to read it over the air. It's much easier to have it sent to you. So that's what I'm going to do. So if you want to play in our little league, we may do another league this year. I owe 15 people apologies last year. The Herm Edwards you play to win the game Fantasy Football League is, I'm convinced, should actually be a national thing. I really think it's a that I'm so I'm being definitely immodest, but I love the whole concept of it. And unfortunately, as the league gets to its most meaningful games, college basketball starts, and then last year I got sick on top of it, and so I never kept up with it. It's the first year I did that. The other ones I got to at least posted the winners. One year we never got trophies distributed, but at least we did have the playoffs all the way through. We did it for like 5 or 6 years, but last year I just abandoned ship, and I owe everybody an apology. It doesn't cost anybody any money, but it's still no fun when that happens. So I'm not sure I'm going to do it again, because unless I can have somebody who'll do the administrative work for me, you got to do it manually. There's no program to do it. That's the whole point. It's a league we invented. And the premise is, because when I play fantasy football leagues, I find it very distracting from actually enjoying the game. You hear people say that. Like, I didn't play fantasy football this year. My God, I enjoyed watching the game so much more. Well, there's some truth to that. Because you get these games that are just, you're watching, you're rooting for almost ridiculous things. You know, a guy to break a 20-yard run and it's 37-7 or some crap. And, you know, you're expecting, you want players and teams to coach and strategize completely at odds with what the game calls for, just for you to, your fantasy guy to win. Well, in this, no such creature. You play to win the game. That's all you're trying to do. The premise is you take the old, you can only have eight teams in the league. You can only have eight teams in the league, and you draft. The snake draft, everybody gets four teams. Each week, you have to sit one of your teams, and the other three, your score is your total of the point differential of the three games.
Found it.
Of the three teams.
All right, hey, what are we doing again?
We're playing, it's the Herm Edwards You Play to Win the Game League.
You play to win the game.
I had the wrong pot up.
Nice. Smooth. Smooth. It's the Herm Edwards You Play to Win the Game. That's the name of the league.
To win the game.
A lot of work for
awesome.
That.
Yeah, thanks. That was great. Moment wasn't lost at all.
That was
fantastic.
12 minutes ago.
Great.
The idea is like...
Also,
say,
I didn't have the button
let's
on.
Let's say you have four teams. You sit one. Your other three teams, one wins by 10, one loses by 6, the other wins by 10. Your score would be 16 for that game. Plus 20.
You play
and then
to win
minus 4.
The game.
Now, the strategy is if you sit the wrong team...
The first time.
If you sit the wrong team... You know, that's a decision. You have to, if you don't have, what happens if you don't have three teams to play? Well, you get the score for what teams you have. You have to play at least a team, unless I've had weeks where all four of the teams are on a bye. You get a zero. You could win with a zero. The other guy gets negative, which can happen. The other guy's three teams are minus 6, minus 8, and minus 12. He has a minus 26. You win. You play head to head, and it's just, you go once, twice around the league, double round robins, 14 games. And then you divide into two brackets, a winner's bracket and a consolation bracket. So it's four teams each. If week 15 is the first round of the playoffs, the next one is the championship game. By week 16, you're done. You don't have those last week games that are less relevant. And it's fun. And the game is all you're worried about is you're playing to win the game, which is what you're supposed to do. That's all you want your team to do is play to win the game. It's
play to win the game.
That's exactly what you do, Herm. That's what you do. So I love that league. I've never won it, by the way. I won the regular season once, mm-hmm. and I lost in the championship game once, but I've never won it.
I think I've always
league never won it.
And not to be like a metaphor for my life, I've always been equally mediocre in that league. If anything, a little bit above average.
I'm talking myself into wanting to do it again.
Do it.
Sure. No, the skin off your back. You don't do anything. You don't even change your team. The beauty is, if you don't change your team, you draft four teams in order. So, in other words, let's say, just for the sake of argument,
I changed my team like four times.
Let's say you drafted the Jets.
It's one quarter of the season.
Let's say you drafted the Jets, then the Bengals, then the Giants, then the Steelers, which would be stupid, of course, because the Steelers go way higher. But just for the sake of my illustration, if you don't call in, the Steelers would sit if all three teams are eligible. The fourth team you pick automatically sits that week if all four of your teams are playing. So if you forget, I forgot to set my team, well, then you got the first three teams playing. So it doesn't screw it up for everybody else. Another beauty of this is you get a guy who's lost like the first 3 weeks. He says to hell with it. He doesn't want to play anymore. And he just abandons it. His team's going to keep playing. They're going to march on without him. So I'm telling you, it really should be. I'm very disappointed that I haven't had somebody who could pick this up. Because my guess is if I could find somebody who does computer programming.
Let's get money.
it would be a very easy thing to do, because if you can come up with programs that can keep track of 600 players and fractions of points and millions.
Well, this
of different
would take
categories.
No time.
Somebody
hell, you and I could probably come up with it.
No, you know how to program. You know how to write a computer program.
No, but I'm saying no. I'm not even being a wise ass. Like simple computer programming, there's like courses you take for a couple hours. We could probably pick this up, but I'd rather not. I'd rather have a professional do it. What's that thing called when you ask people for favors over the air?
Asking for
Porcini,
favors over the air.
Falafel, what's the term?
Payola.
Payola.
But that's not a favor over the air. That's where
payola.
It's where you get something material as a host, but the station gets nothing. So it's like a guy coming to me. It started in the music business. They would go to the DJs and say, I'll give you money if you play this hit by Nicky and the Big Heads. And then the guy would play it, and then you would be sticking money in your pocket, and the station's getting nothing. So that's
the payola.
There's other ways that happens now. Like, quite frankly, if a guy he wants to listen, can you get on the air and say over and over again what a wonderful job I do at trimming your lawn? And and then you guy says,
"But he's not a sponsor."
And I'll trim your lawn. I'll do your landscaping for the year. If you mention it, the guy mentions it, and the station knows nothing about it. And part of the reason is largely the stations were protecting themselves because
they want a piece. Everyone exactly. wants a little piece.
But then the other thing is also because it's not fair to other advertisers.
Right.
You tell somebody you're going to charge X number of dollars for X number of minutes on the air, and that guy's playing by the rules, and he's giving you money, and this jackwad is just greasing the palm of some talking head. That's kind of not fair either.
You don't want to do peyote.
So that's payola.
Payola. Well, you don't want to do peyote
either.
Why
can't you remember that? I'm just curious. That's the fifth time you've asked me. I'm just curious. You have a big head. There's room in there. Stick in that back corner.
You say that. There's a
lot of guys in there.
A lot of voices.
How are the boys doing today?
Bing Bing the Panda?
Yeah.
Doing fantastic.
I love Bing Bing. I still think that's a great... You realize our universal paradox?
Yes.
Our universal...
Let's make fun of mental health.
No. Our parallel universe is a wonderfully entertaining world that we don't ever exercise any of these things. We have a sitcom that's a huge hit inside Nikki's head. Hmm. And you're the one. You were as funny
about
that as anybody. That's a quality bit of entertainment. We've got that. We've got all these characters. We've got Oswald, the drummer who loves to drop in. We've got little Billy, aspiring radio announcer who's 10 years old, who likes to come in and read the copy. Georgia will be in a little bit later. That guy's walking down the street and eating an entire pizza, pig.
I like his style.
I'm only kidding. Hope you didn't hear that. He's going to come running and kick the glass. I'll show you, pig.
Yeah, the speaker's on outside. That's great.
I just did 4 hours in the gym. I'm getting ready for the triathlon, so I'm carbing up here, pal. You want to bring it?
So. This is cardio, or this is carb loading. That's what they call it, carb loading.
Payola.
Payola, peyote. Now I'm doing it on purpose.
Payola.
But I'm going to, the weird thing is I'm going to say all these random things.
And then you're going to try and say it for real and it's going to screw you up.
No, the weird thing is I'm going to remember the actual term now.
Okay, well, if it helps you. Yes. Do you know how you remember things? This is the last thing to do before a break. We've covered six different topics here. This is quality.
Pele.
You can still do this, by the way. This guy named Harry Lorraine. Was a memory expert. Harry Lorraine was a memory expert.
Popo.
Jerry Lucas, the basketball player, was an All-American basketball player at Ohio State, played with the Knicks, won an NBA championship. Brilliant guy. Strange guy, but brilliant guy. He would do exercises in this too. He memorized 400 pages of the Manhattan phone directory.
Holy.
When they still have phone directories.
I almost swore.
It. Well, Harry Lorraine has a theory, one of the theories. If you have a list, and I've used this all the time, and it works. If you have a list of things to remember, even if it's at the grocery store, how you remember it is you put it in a story, in a bizarre, ridiculous story. Because you remember, perfect example, I remember I was 12 years old taking the train to see the garden, to go to the garden to see the Knicks play. And as the train was going by, a house, which was just about maybe 500 feet off the train tracks, was completely on fire. Completely ablaze.
Whoa.
The entire house was outlined. You ever seen a house when it's completely ablaze?
Oh, yeah. Just the frame of the house is like...
That is a lot of years ago. I still remember that. Why? Because it's something extremely unusual. I don't remember any other houses I passed on that trip or any of the other houses on any of the trips. But I remember that because it's unusual. So what he contends is you take a series of events that you've got to do, a to-do list or a list of things you want to buy and put them in a story that is so bizarre and ridiculous that you couldn't forget it. And there should be physical involvement. Like, for example, you got to have something to trigger it. Like, for me, if I had to leave here and somebody said, well, just write it down. Okay, wise guy, I get it. But I'm saying, if somebody said the thing to do is when you leave the studio, you've got to, in a half hour, you've got to go pick up these 10 things. I don't know what they would be. Let's say I had to pick up rubber bands. Things have nothing in common. That's the whole point. That's why it's difficult to remember. Rubber bands, post-it notes, apples, cat food, and detergent. I'll make a shorter list of five, okay? He would suggest the thing that triggers it is that door I'm pointing to. When I opened it, I would get hit in the face with 700 rubber bands. Okay, then I'd get myself up, and as I walked to leave the building, went around the corner, all the other hosts there would be covered in post-it notes. I would walk out, and I would see them all covered in post-it notes. And then I would open the door looking behind me at the hosts covered in post-it notes, and as I went to step outside, I'd step on an apple and flip and land on my ass because I got hurt.
Ouch.
You know, and so now every time I open the door, like you get me later on in the show, I'll remember the five things because... That the story, that if you put that story together, that's how you remember it. That's why like people like me, I remember phone numbers by jersey numbers.
Yeah, I do that
too.
Well,
it's the same thing. You don't remember, you know, 3, 8, 7. I remember, you know, Babe Ruth, Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, and then I see the three of them in my head, and that's the number. And it's easy. So that's the whole point. You make things extraordinary, and you don't forget them. And I've done that when I've had reasons to have to remember something, sometimes a speech or something in my head. So
if you're at a party, I heard this.
Well, he does it with names, by the way. That's names, how he remembers
I've
names.
I've heard this way.
Let me just keep that thought, because I want to tell you what he did. He would do TV shows. He would go in the studio before the show, and everybody would introduce themselves to him. They would stay in the same seats. He'd be on the stage, and then the host would randomly point to somebody. And that person would stand up, and he would tell them the name. He remembered. How
That's
many people
strong.
In a TV studio? It's 350, whatever it was. But same thing. He'd remember it by they're called pneumatic devices.
Well, this person told me, and it helped pretty well. It was, you say the name three times, and then you add a distinctive feature. So you go, Mary, 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 nice green dress.
Joe, big puss wart.
Yeah, Steve, great smile. Kara,
smells like
funny laugh. Chuck, great ass. You know what I mean? Whatever. It's distinctive.
I walked all over your comedy triple there. I apologize.
That's okay. Hey, Tass is on one.
Tass!
We need to get him. He's got some good news. Entz texted me.
Okay.
And said he texted you. There's a code for the...
If only you ever listen.
I was on the phone with people, okay? I was on the phone with people.
One of them was Tass, who joins us right now. Yes. Tass, what's going on?
I really can't remember right now.
I see you should have made a list. You should open the door. Rubber bands would hit you, and then you'd see the guys covered in post-it notes and step on an apple. See, you remember all that. Anyway,
exactly.
Go ahead.
What I wanted to tell you is we missed you. I know you all had to be down at Ellis Park for the big thing that you did down there, but the Tommy Mays scramble that we had at Bobby Nichols for the V Foundation, we raised $2,100 this year.
Fantastic.
Brings our total over 7 years to $16,000.
Wow, great.
We had a hole in one that day.
Wow.
And our golf course is getting too easy because we've had four hole in ones in the last 10 days.
Oh, my God. I want to come play out there. I want a hole in one.
I tell you what, I know a wave put on the 10 hardest holes in Jefferson County. I challenge anybody to come out there and play holes 4 and 5 from the blue tees. I guarantee you they're not easy. They're probably two of the hardest holes in Jefferson County.
I read somewhere, this was, you played it at Bobby Jones, right?
Bobby Nichols.
Bobby Nichols, right. Is that course closing? I thought there was some discussion that
we're
going to close it.
We're on the endangered species, but we're fighting like hell to keep it over. It's a gem. I know a lot of people don't play it because it's only 9 holes, but I tell you what, it's the best 9 holes in Jefferson County, and I'm not being prejudiced. It's very challenging, and I know why some people don't play it, because if you don't hit it straight, you're going to be in trouble. But it's a very challenging course, and I'd like to see more people come out and give it a chance. It's a great golf course.
Well, I believe it's one of the few places I haven't played, so I may have to make a trek down there. Because I know one of the things, we talk about this all the time, when I moved here, the city course, the metro courses, the Metro Parks golf course system here is extraordinary. They still have that pass, too? You can buy the pass and play all the courses?
Yeah.
They still do that?
Oh, yeah. $375. You can play them all for a minimum fee on top of that, and it's the cheapest golf within six states that I know of.
Yeah, and you aren't kidding, by the way. I'm looking online at the scorecard. The from the blue tees, the slope is 130. From the white, yeah, it's 126. Even from the yellow, it's 123. So yeah, it sounds like a challenging course.
There's not a lot of bailout areas. Like, I'll tell you, on number four, if you're short, you're in the creek. If you're left, you're in the woods. If you're right, you're in the woods, and you've got to hit it right down the middle. And the same way on the par five, number five, right and left is trouble. You got to hit it down the middle, and if you don't hit it quite down the middle, it could roll into trouble.
Well, the big thing is you raised a lot of money in the fight against cancer. Thanks for doing that. I'm sorry we couldn't make it between our two events. We generated some dough in the fight against cancer. We had a great time down at Ellis Park and raised about $11,000 there. So we, between the two of us, we kicked in some serious change. So we're glad to have been a part of it, and we appreciate what you guys did.
Okay, maybe next year.
I hope so. Thanks, Taz. Appreciate the call. Thank you. That's nice. That's nice they've done that. They're over $15,000 in all the work they've done and trying to generate some interest in Bobby Nichols, which is good because that's really one of the best buys I've ever seen. $300-some-odd, you play all those courses, and they're good courses.
We need to go play down there.
Yeah, we should. But first, we take a commercial break. Thanks for being with us, ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Peyote.
Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe-throwing arenas. Make a night of it, and also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe-throwing arenas.
Listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
That's my prize. I won my contest this morning. Awesome.
Wait, you won?
Yeah, Billy Reed brought this, and he said, I thought he forgot it. They said, no, he wants to give it away. So I quickly organized a first phone call to my cell phone, gets it, and I ran, picked your phone up and called it and won. So it was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. That's why that was on there.
So I won. Huh. Pretty excited. First caller. And you can wake up to that. Or, and this is really what makes it, this is the selling point right here. Or you could wake up to this.
Now we're looking. Hope you can get through this titanic struggle of a day. And this one belongs to the ranch.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow, Marty.
Are you kidding me?
Marty Brenneman waking you up. That's strong.
It's an old-fashioned alarm clock. He's got a replica of his signature at the bottom.
Looks like tickety-tock.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
From Blue's Clues.
These are what the alarm clocks used to look like back in my parents' day. Not my day. Don't be a wise ass. These are the ones that every cartoon show in America with is an alarm clock. This is the one it has. It's got a little anvil at the top that swings back and forth and rings the bell. Very cool.
It's kind of nice, I got to say.
Yeah, no, so I won that. That was pretty exciting.
Proud of you, Dad.
I had a run to get the call in there. Now, somebody said, you know, I didn't know. Some of the people are in the office that they didn't know about it, and I don't really think it's my place to have to tell them. They should try and find out. You know? I mean, I announced it in my head, so that's all that kind of matters.
Well, did you put it on Twitter?
No, I just didn't have a chance. By the way, guy says, what courses are in danger here in Louisville? Let me see if I can find the list. They had talked a few years, maybe it was last year, that you know, they're always right now lamenting lack of money.
Who isn't?
So they talked about cost cutting the Louisville Metro golf courses closings. They had targeted a couple. It was at least three, I seem to recall. Here we go. Louisville, this is back from, May, it wasn't that long ago, May 9th of this year. So we're talking about, what is that, a little more than 3 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Metro Council members expressed concern about a plan to close public golf courses to save Louisville money. Golfers went and had their voices heard. But I'm encouraging everybody that's reaching out to me, said Metro Councilwoman Cindy Fowler. I'm encouraging everybody that's reaching out to me to play our public courses, because if you don't play them, they're going to get closed. Mayor Fisher had proposed closing four golf courses to save over $500,000. The potential candidates for closure were Charlie Ventner, Cherokee, Crescent Hill, Bobby Nichols, Iroquois, and Sun Valley. So that's a lot of them. So that's one of the saddest things to me is when I see golf courses closed. Now, understanding, mind you, that the market got saturated in terms of not the city courses themselves, but the courses, the golf course development ran rampant, and there were way more courses than there were players. And just since I've lived in town, they've closed Glen Mary, River Road, Indian Springs. There was one in Greenville, which sadly was not a very good course, but that one closed, so I can't remember the name of it. It was a doctor who owned it, and I don't think he even used a real golf course designer. It was a very strange layout, but I know that one closed. Any others I can think of here? They almost lost New Albany, if not for Carey bringing that thing back from the dead. That was the Lazarus Act there, man. That thing was literally about a month from irreversible damage. And that was very cool that he brought that back. And he's done some job that. He really has. I tip my hat to him. He's done a great job. Are there any? Did I miss any others? But, you know, now there's some talk about as many as six of those courses closing. So it's...
Dang, it's sad.
It would be sad. I hope they don't... And I've played a number of them. In fact, I think I've played all of them except maybe Bobby Nichols. Let me see. I've played... Charlie Ventner, I know Paul Rogers loves Charlie Ventner. He used to play here all the time. I played Cherokee. I played Crescent Hill. I played Iroquois. I played Sun Valley. I played all of them but Bobby Nichols. And it's really one of the great – I could not believe it when we first came to town here. I mean, you know, unlimited golf for whatever that was, $300-some-odd. At least that's what it used to be. I don't know if it still is now. But, I mean, that's like a membership. You got to remember, we're all products of our – background, and you couldn't get this. You couldn't afford a golf membership on Long Island. No way, no how. That you couldn't. The clubs were packed. There were waiting lines. There was an enormous initiation fee. It was very, 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 very expensive. So you wound up playing the public courses. And in Nassau County, where I'm from, we're very lucky because we're not lucky the tax rates are high, but we get stuff for our taxes. Bethpage is a public facility where they play the U.S. Open and the PGA, the black course. It's one of five courses. They're color-coded. It's in order of difficulty. It goes yellow, green, red, blue, and black. Five 18-hole courses, all terrific. That's a state park. Then there's a county park, which has three courses, also by color. Red, they like using colors there. The in order of difficulty, the blue, white, and the red. The red was a venue for a senior tour event for years, the Champions Tour. I don't know if they still are. But the fact of the matter is you would go and you would literally, unless you went like at 4:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday or something, there was a long wait, and you always got put in with other people. They sent them only out in foursomes, and it was always a long wait, and they didn't take starting times. So when I moved here and said, let me get this straight, you pay $325 and you play all the courses? That's unbelievable. So it's very, very cool that we have that set up here, but I don't know what's going on. Texter says, Cherokee is the one they should get rid of. That property is worth an unbelievable amount of money. Well, that's the bottom line. And that's the same reason on Long Island. But, you know, there's the old joke about real estate. They're not making any more of it. And all of a sudden they start to look. And even if they're profitable, you know, to take the big hit, man, to take that big cash cow, just close them up and sell them and develop them. That's awfully, it's a very, very tempting thing. So I don't know, maybe they will. We'll see. It says Sun Valley and Bobby Nichols are done, Iroquois more than likely. So I don't know how it's going to play out. But it's a shame if they go away. But I do understand. But I'll tell you, the number, even on Long Island, I went back there expecting, this was last year, to go and have the long wait again. And I went on an afternoon and played 2 years ago, this is now, and went and walked out, nobody there, and played by myself. How many years I lived on Long Island, I don't think that ever happened before, literally. That never happened before.
You always told me
before.
About how if you played slow, because there was a million people playing, they'd murder you.
They wouldn't. I mean, you learn how to play. Whatever that guy's name is, Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah. They literally would kill him. I mean, I'm kidding. They would jump in there. First of all, nobody drives. Everybody walks. They would lug their pull carts with them down the fairway, and then this way they could have a choice of clubs when they got close to them. Do I want to hit them with the driver or a 3-iron or Bryson? Hit the ball.
I've been kind of slicing everything with the hybrid.
I mean, I'm telling you. You learn to play quick or you don't play. All right, now we'll take a break and then come back. It's V Show, ESPN 680, 105.7.